Today on Annenberg Radio News.
We're not opposed to a rainy day fund in concept, but, you know, it's raining right now.
Are the propositions on the May 19th ballot an answer to California's financial woes? Politicians and community members weigh in. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 30th. I'm Jonathan Horn. Swine flu is still a threat to Californians. There's one probable case in Los Angeles County. A Cal State Long Beach student fell ill with what's suspected to be the swine flu. Test results from the health department will be available tomorrow. There have been more than 100 cases of swine flu in the United States, with 16 confirmed in California. Dr. Mark Horton, director of the California Public Health Department, says the illness is still spreading.
We're fully expecting to continue to see increased numbers of cases and a probable increase in the severity of disease that's being reflected in those confirmed cases.
Horton says people can protect themselves by washing their hands frequently and covering their mouths when they cough or sneeze. DNA evidence helped police find a serial killer. Esther Pomeroy has more on how forensics played a crucial role in connecting the dots on an old case.
Los Angeles police say they believe 72-year-old John Thomas Jr. to be the so-called West Side Rapist, a serial killer who was responsible for the rapes and murders of several elderly women in the Los Angeles area in the 1970s and 1980s. Police have connected Thomas to 5 murders using DNA evidence. They say he is a suspect in 25 more. Councilman Jack Weiss credited this arrest to advances in DNA technology.
For decade after decade after decade, Mr. Thomas must have thought he'd gotten away with murder. And in the 20th century, he probably had some reason to hope that he had.
Thomas has been convicted twice of sexual assault. Police say they collected DNA from Thomas this past fall as part of his registration as a sex offender. Last month, they were able to connect him through DNA to 5 of the murders. The LAPD is in the process of collecting DNA samples from all registered sex offenders. Police Chief Bill Bratton says he hopes to expand this program.
For decade after decade after decade, Mr. Thomas must have thought he'd gotten away with murder. And in the 20th century, he probably had some reason to hope that he had.
Thomas has been working as a state insurance claims adjuster since 1989. He is being held without bail and is scheduled to appear in court on May 20th. Esther Pomeroy, Annenberg Radio News.
Make way for children. Ariel Edwards Levy looks at a South Los Angeles crosswalk that may be safer now.
Uno, dos, tres!
This morning, parents at Normandy Elementary School could finally feel secure as their children marched across the street. Councilmember Jan Perry joined faculty at the school to turn on a crosswalk with flashing lights at the intersection of Raymond and Vernon Avenues.
Look, somebody's using the crosswalk already. Let's give her a hand. Yay!
The crosswalk was only turned on today, but the project has been in development for years. The lights were installed 2 years ago, but Gustavo Ortiz, Normandy's principal, said that for some reason, they were never turned on. During that time, Normandy Elementary suffered a tragedy.
2 years ago, we did have a young kindergartner that was hit by a trash truck and was killed. He was on a bicycle with his father. And the parents have always been a little weary of just the traffic situation.
Saving lives is what got frustrated parents to finally take matters into their own hands. Although many didn't speak English, they wrote letters to Councilwoman Perry and gathered signatures. Now, a month later, the flashing lights are turned on. It's how simple the fix was that grates on Ortiz.
I really believe it could have been a bureaucratic oversight, meaning that it was out of sight, out of mind. You know, for our parents and our families around this community, the crosswalk was very important. The fact that the light hadn't been turned on after 2 years of installation didn't make a lot of sense.
The city says school safety is a priority, and it plans to install another light next week at Wadsworth Elementary at the intersection of Martin Luther King Boulevard and Central Avenue. Ariel Edwards Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Organizers are gearing up for this year's May Day rallies. 6 marches have been approved for the downtown LA area tomorrow. Los Angeles Police Department officials say they're expecting tens of thousands of marchers for the events. March 25th Coalition member Javier Rodriguez says while the swine flu has caught the nation's attention, workers' rights have suffered a more severe illness.
What we call the ICE flu, meaning the raids and deportations, that's 100 times more problematic for our people, and it's been going on for 23 years.
There were no serious disruptions during last year's marches, but the 2007 marches are infamous for the LAPD's use of force to disperse the crowd. Tonight, the temperatures will drop into the high 50s, but will give way to a mostly cloudy 72-degree Friday. Saturday's forecast calls for showers, believe it or not, with a high of 68. Later on Annenberg Radio News, DNA evidence may be the best detective in helping police officers sort through a backlog of unsolved crimes. We take a closer look. On May 19th, Californians will vote on Proposition 1A. It would extend the tax increase another year in hopes of stabilizing California's economy. For Governor Schwarzenegger and Sacramento lawmakers, it's the answer to the state's annual budget crisis. Adriana Venegas-Chavez reports on why some teachers, union members, and nurses are against it.
Opponents of Proposition 1A gather today at the Mark Taper Adult Day Health Care Center to convince voters to turn down the measure. Prop 1A calls for creating a $13 billion rainy day fund. James Todd, political coordinator for SEIU State Council.
And we're not opposed to a rainy day fund in concept, but you know, it's raining right now, right? You know, so it doesn't make sense. If you have a job and somebody's forcing you to put aside savings when you can't make the mortgage payment, then you know, something's got to give. And so we just think that it's a poorly written initiative. Good idea, poorly written initiative.
The Rainy Day Fund will come from extending the tax increase approved by state legislature this year. Under 1A, the tax increase will stay in effect until 2013. $13 billion will be put away in a rainy day fund to be tapped into when revenue declines. But not all the money will be left in the Rainy Day Fund. At the end of 2013, more than $9 billion will go to the schools to repay money that was cut from the budget this year. Marty Hittleman, president of the California Federation of Teachers, says the money is needed now.
Where we're already not funding the schools properly, we're not properly funding the other needs that California has, and then they're going to take another $3 billion out every year to put away until it gets to $13 billion. So at the end, that's $13 billion that's unavailable, essentially, to address the problems that California faces.
Other opponents, like the Congress of California Seniors, Health Access California, and the California Nurses Association, are concerned it will further affect public health services. Cash Betton is chief operating officer for St. Barnabas Senior Services.
When we look at cuts, anytime you're looking at state funding, Medi-Cal cuts and things like that, that affects everything that we do, from our transportation to our nutrition to the programs and the activities that we have for all these individuals here. It limits the amount of days and the amount of hours that folks are able to come to facilities, and it really, really limits the amount of service and the quality that we can do.
Governor Schwarzenegger says that Proposition 1A will finally fix the broken budget system so that the state will never make cuts or raise taxes again. Frank Wells from the California Teachers Association agrees.
I think you're going to see stability come to all the programs that benefit from the state, because they won't be dealing with these, you know, massive ups and massive downs, and there will be money there in that rainy day fund to deal with state programs when the economy isn't doing as well.
A field poll released yesterday shows only 40% of likely voters support 1A. Adriana Venegas-Chavez, Annenberg Radio News.
Our Richie Duchon spoke to California Attorney General and would-be Governor Jerry Brown about the propositions on the May 19th ballot. You can click on www.annenbergradio.org for the story. It's National Crime Victims' Rights Week, and a candlelight ceremony is being held tonight to honor those affected by violence. One woman has turned her personal loss into an organization that helps others affected by crime. Caitlin Funero reports.
Charlotte Jordan is too familiar with what it's like to be a victim of crime. She holds a photograph of three chubby-faced children, her son, daughter, and nephew. All three are now gone.
Well, and actually in 1988, my 13-year-old daughter was murdered. She was shot 15 times by some gang members along with my neighbor's daughter.
Jordan was born in this West Adams neighborhood, and she has seen her life and the lives of those around her crumble from violence.
You think about it all day, you sleep. The first thing you wake up, that's on your mind. And it was, how did I get here? How did my 13-year-old daughter get shot 15 times? How do I settle what, how do I stop what's happening? So
Jordan channeled her grief into finding a solution to the violence. She co-founded the group Save Our Future that provides after-school programs and educational help to at-risk kids in the West Adams area. But Jordan also saw how the families of victims were often ignored and left to deal with their tragedy. She founded another group, Mothers on the March, to help families deal with their grief.
We also provide counseling for battered women, for rape victims, things to help them to cope with the tragedy or the crime that has been committed to on them.
The community approach to curbing violence has been working, but Jordan says there is still a long way to go. There were 304 murders in Los Angeles County last year. Mothers on the March has been organizing vigils and rallies all week to let the community know that it's everyone's responsibility to stop the violence.
I don't want our community to forget that they walk the face of this earth. And at 13 years old, she would have been 35 in March. And I want people to know she was important. Every child in our community is important, and they have the right to live.
And Jordan hopes the work her community has been doing means that next time there will be fewer mothers holding candles in grief. Caitlin Fenaro, Annenberg Radio News.
The vigil is being held tonight at 7 p.m. at McCarty Memorial Church on West Adams Boulevard. DNA evidence led the LAPD's cold case team to capturing 72-year-old John Floyd Thomas Jr. He's suspected of raping or killing up to 30 women in the mid-1970s and 80s. Dr. Joseph Peterson, director of the School of Criminal Justice and Criminalistics at Cal State LA, says forensic evidence pieced together the case for investigators.
The key is that they found an association with the DNA evidence in the case that linked him to one or more offenses. And that is the one of the values of scientific evidence or forensic evidence is that it does have the power to associate a person with multiple crimes that they may have committed over many, many years.
How do they keep the DNA fresh after all those years?
Well, they are not always able to do that. It's preferable if you could keep this material refrigerated or frozen. What they may be able to do in some situations, if they can identify biological stains in given cases, they're able to extract the DNA from that stain. Then they can preserve that very small sample of DNA on a refrigerated or a frozen basis for countless years.
The technology now to do just that, is that better than it's ever been before?
We're able now to link DNA to a person virtually at the exclusion of all other individuals. Back in the old days, in the 1960s, 70s, and early 80s, we used some fairly crude or elementary serological tests that could break the stains down into fairly large categories, like the old ABO system and so forth. But that is much, much more sensitive and specific today.
Now, the LAPD back in 2001 opened the cold case department, 9,000 unsolved cases, and John Floyd Thomas, one of them. He's 72. They finally caught him. What do you see as the value in catching him after all these years in a time where he's maybe at the end of his life?
Well, I think there is value to society for bringing a person to justice for crimes that they did commit, and it reminds the public that that law enforcement and forensic laboratories can go back and solve these very old cases that had been unsolved for many years. In for this particular case with this particular individual, he will be receiving his just punishment for what had occurred. And of course, there's a long way to go before this individual is actually ultimately convicted. But still, it would give them some measure of satisfaction that if he were apprehended.
Well, I mean, maybe at this time that's all they can ask for, you know?
It's yes. Just,
Dr. Peterson, thank you very much for the time. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Treasure seekers in South Los Angeles have found an unlikely place to find loot. Storage Center Auctions. Claire Webb joins in the search.
Each month, this U.S. storage facility in Inglewood holds public auctions of units where tenants have fallen behind on rent or abandoned the space. Auction goers come to each event to bid on the contents of a unit, and you never know what you might find.
You know, you just want to find some treasure and kick back and enjoy the sun.
In a tough economy, people like Emmanuel Razzo turn to auctions. He used to manufacture ladies' shoes, but about a year ago, he started coming to auctions each week to help pay the bills.
Well, hopefully I can get some merchandise and make a little bit of money, a little extra money, you know, some living money is what you could want to call it. Not to mention the fact that, you know, the economy is such that you got to find different ways to, you know, scratch up a couple of dollars.
Jason Overs is another buyer. He's a substitute teacher, but he turned to auctions out of necessity.
Economy's kind of bad right now, and I can't really get as many jobs as I used to, so.
Overs and Razzo follow a pack of about 20 buyers through the storage facility on Industrial Avenue. They file past the 6 units up for sale, take a look at the contents, and then start bidding. A buyer can purchase an entire unit and walk away with all the things inside. Overs says you can find anything from home appliances to jewelry to clothing.
It just all depends on what's in the unit, you know, like if we...
U.S. storage centers can begin putting a unit up for auction after 15 days without rent from the tenant. But Yuvia Cruz, the Los Angeles district manager for U.S. storage centers, says the process takes longer.
It takes about 2 months from start to finish.
Cruz said tenants can come pay cash for the rent they owe up until the auction. But after the auctioneer yells sold, it's too late. Then the buyer decides what to do with the merchandise.
You know, you could put them up on eBay, Craigslist, tell a friend.
As more people scramble to find work in an economy where the unemployment rate in Los Angeles tops 11%, Razzo has seen more buyers at auctions.
You know, when I first started, it was maybe a handful of people, 5 or 6. And increasingly, it's gone up to over 100, you know, at any particular auction.
Today, the U.S. Storage Center in Inglewood made $1,260 from the auction. But auctioneer Dan Dotson says that's still not enough to cover the money they lose in rent.
Usually by the time it comes to auction, they might get back 20 cents on the dollar.
Razzo and Overs don't buy anything at today's auction, but tomorrow's another day to go out in search of treasure. This is Claire Webb, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Skylar Kenny to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Skylar?
Yeah, thanks, John. Is the H1N1 virus, also known as the swine flu, spreading in California? We're bringing the latest number of confirmed cases. And USC's theater and community class worked with mothers of incarcerated youth in Los Angeles to put on a show that depicts their troubles. We'll show you highlights all coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6. It's the last show of the year. Make sure you check it out.
Thanks, Skylar. You going to see that show?
I am.
Oh, good. Well, you'll have to tell me all about it.
I will. Thanks a lot, John.
Oh, thank you, Skylar, all semester. Well, that wraps it up for all of us this semester. Thanks to our Thursday crew very much. Kim Daniels, Ariel Edwards-Levy, Ryan Nunez, Esther Pomeroy, Adriana Venegas-Chavez, and Richie Dushan. Our technical guru is Billy Higgins. Lata Pandya is our producer and the brains behind this whole operation. Kaylin Funero is the executive producer, and Willa Seidenberg, of course, can do it without her. So for all of us at Annenberg Radio News, and for one last time this semester, I'm Jonathan Horn.